Is this thing on?
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Okay. Episode number 41, the Coffee and
Hey! Coffee.
We're back, dude.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Welcome back. Back from summer holidays, Coffee and Carving Show, episode number 41. My goodness, we should make this a special episode. Any idea how we can do that?
Me?
I got an idea.
No idea.
One sec, hang on.
Okay.
Hey!
My friend!
Hey, welcome!
Welcome, I say. We did it!
There we are.
A real in-person episode.
Back again, season two, we'll call it.
Season two.
Season Ghost. Two.
And that means three.
What?
All I know is we are...
Out of practice.
Yeah, that's
out of practice is what we are. My goodness, I can hardly form my words. This is so foreign again. Remember, I'll never forget Ryan the opera singer.
Oh, Olsen.
Ryan yeah. Olsen telling us how badly we sucked in the beginning, right?
Yeah, he was like, well, I put...
Doug
put,
would say it's a dry heat.
Put the furnace.
And I loved that he said that, but I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I feel out of practice. I hope I hope we can get back in the swing of things, because even leading up to this, I was like anxious.
Yeah.
It felt weird.
Yeah, me too. I had a little anxiety, like it was our first episode.
Yeah. No, it feels strange, but anyway, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
This place is so cute.
Thank you.
Like, I can't believe what watching, especially in the studio to start with, everything I've seen has been a video, and it just feels different. And being in here now, it's like really nice. I like it. It feels different than I pictured in video. I don't know how or why. It felt strange. But your whole little village, it's like a little artsy-fartsy cottage country, little cute little hamlet. Like, it's fun.
Cool.
What a great area.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, thanks, man. I mean, it's really funny, actually, to hear that, because I remember coming into this area and thinking, oh, my gosh, this is rough.
Like, oh, yeah.
This is bad. And it has changed so much in the last 4 years. When I first moved in, I think I probably told you before, like, this was like a little drug corner, like the drug den. Like, the gentleman who lived in my home is in jail for selling, I don't know what. I mean, I've gotten prison letters from his buddies, his inmate friends. And, you know, I've heard stories of guys dying in the neighborhood from drugs that our guy here sold to them. And we had a guy when I first moved in who would just like get out of his house every morning and walk directly to the rundown Jeep Cherokee that was like buried under, like half underground, and who would sit in there all day. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if he was watching videos on his phone or if he was getting high on something, but he passed away within a year of something. Anyway, happy stuff.
I feel like if I knock on the neighbor's door, they're going to be sitting on a potter's wheel making some kind of pottery, and the other neighbor's going to be like weaving some jute twine or something. That's how this villagey feel.
Yeah. It's
great.
Yeah. Well, we've got a bee farm to the right of us. We got a potter two houses down. Yeah. So you're not far off.
Is that true?
Yeah.
There it is.
So yeah, it's gotten better. A lot of families have moved in these little old crappy homes and made these little tiny shacks cute again. So I'm glad that now that's the impression. That's
cool. No, I felt it. Cool. I felt it coming in.
Cool.
But well, the whole drive was nice. It wasn't bad at all. It wasn't
too long.
Nice country drive. No, it was good.
I envy your. I just wanted to say you pulled in that Jeep, and Jeep envy. It's so deep. The Jeep envy.
I tell you, I like it.
It's so nice.
Again, though, yesterday, again, did I make a mistake? Because across the road from me, I was sitting here at the lights or something, and there was a two-door Ford Bronco, cherry red, with the top off. And I was like, I still like my Jeep, but that's pretty sexy. That red Bronco with the top off. But I still like the chunkiness, I think, of the Jeep. But anyway, I have drove the snot off it this summer, and it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Speaking of summer, Anything new and exciting happened to you since your time away?
Ooh, yeah, nothing.
What's that?
Nothing new, really, other than just, I have to stretch.
Audio listeners, Alec is showing his left hand. There's something on his left finger there.
Yep. I did it, guys. I got hitched. I got married. I was joined by all of my close friends and family, Doug included. He actually drug his sorry self all the way out to me. Oh, I heard you got stuck on the way there or here. Yeah,
the mortar was horrible, but I made it. But yep. I can't believe she committed.
Thank
you. You got her. You got her in time. But there must be a sweet spot where it's just like, if she gets to know you fully, yep. No deal. Mm-hmm. Gets to know you three quarters, yep. Still kind of likes you, got her committed.
Yep.
And now she pays for eternity.
Right. And, you know, it took some research to kind of find that that narrow window of time that she would agree to it. And but I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's good.
No, you did good. And that was quite an ordeal. The wedding itself. So this is the second time Alec has dragged me into the United States this summer. And the second time I've been in the States in, what, three years probably.
Yeah.
But it was the wedding was great.
It's good.
I've never been to a fun, quaint, quick, happy wedding. Like, it just seemed like it was a perfect mix of everything.
Good.
Not too long, not too short.
Good.
Good people. I told you earlier, but I'll say it again, is that the table that you put me at could have been like this village here of the most eclectic group of people, like your kind of friends, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was artists, musicians, filmmakers, and you could have had a reality TV show from our table.
Right.
It was fun.
Oh, that's good.
It was fun to get to know everybody. Unfortunately, my wife, the passport office is so far behind, and we tried for 3 months leading up to it, and she did not get her passport in time.
That's more.
So I came very awkwardly by myself.
Yeah. No, I told Doug before, you know, before he left that I would much rather see his wife than him at the wedding.
But unfortunately,
he couldn't. Yeah. I gave him advice about how I could modify the picture on his passport.
Yeah, no, I would have happily sent her in my place as well.
No, we were sad to not have Sophie, but
no, it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, it was so fun. I mean, the service was awesome. Annalise's dad is a pastor, and he did the ceremony, and my brother-in-law was involved. He was something, I don't know what he was called, but he did some important thing at the beginning, and I think stayed up there with me and handed her off, whatever that is. So
yeah, that's funny because I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, tomato of honor or something.
I came to the wedding knowing you.
Wow, yeah, true. Right. Yep.
So I had to make I had to make friends all day. It was so out of my place, but I did it. I made it. It was good.
Good. So, no, yeah. You seem quite comfortable from the times I saw you there. So
yeah.
Right. So it's official. We did that. Went honeymooning. Went to Canada. This crappy old dump called Whistler.
Yeah, right.
Now this is beautiful, like mountain town, and hung out there for a few days, and then Vancouver, which I was surprised was so bustling. 4.5 million people in the city proper, and it is just like, it's like New York City, it felt like, at least.
Yeah.
And it's cool though.
It's a busy place, for sure. I've only been out there to the island, Vancouver Island.
Okay.
And it's a little bit more.
Oh, that'd be nice. I wish we had done that too. That would have been. Whistler was just so cool though. If anyone's looking for a fun vacation spot and you're into skiing in the winter or BMX in the summer, there are so many neat like biking trails and competitions that happen. Actually, we happened to be there during Crankworks, which is a televised BMX downhill style race where people are going off jumps and flipping on these bikes. And
that's fun.
Oh, so cool. Just to watch these mostly like kids. They're all like 18, 19, little girls and little guys. These literally physically small people who can just get up in the air and flip around.
How did your wallet fare on at Whistler?
Whistler is so Vancouver apparently has the highest cost of, or one of the highest costs of living.
I wondered how everything would be there because I knew it would be a little bit more dear.
Unbelievably expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it was our honeymoon. So.
Oh no, 100%. No, yeah. I just.
So back off, Doug. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
You know, I don't appreciate the way that you're making me feel guilty No, it wasn't that bad. You know, all in all, we did eat a lot of pizza, and it was because it was the best. Really, it wasn't a cost-effective thing. We went to Fat Tony's at one point, this pizza place there, and it was they had this blue cheese, like beef. Oh, it was the best pizza I've ever had.
Wow.
Oh, it was good. We had a lot of Japanese food in Vancouver. There's a beautiful Japanese town. Anyway, awesome. Recommend it. Go to Whistler. It's fun. Yeah. Pikes are awesome.
But at the end of the day, you're married.
I'm married.
Yep.
So yeah, man, what about you? What's have you been carving a lot this summer? I've seen a lot of videos from you. A fair amount.
Yeah, I actually I did. I really focused a lot on carving this summer. Not so much all public either, but I kind of took myself to school a little bit and kind of focused on learning a little bit here and there and a lot of practice. But you know what's fun? Do you remember? I think I had started. I wasn't sure where I was going to go with it, but I was carving tiny things.
And the canisters. The
little film canister size things. Well, I kind of did a little switch on that. So over the years, the most common thing is like, what kind of wood? Where can I get basswood? My basswood's hard. And all this stuff. And always, it's always about the wood.
Yeah.
So I started carving, well, two things. I started carving sticks.
Yep.
Did a lot of stick carving.
Yeah.
And I started carving hardware store dowels.
Oh.
And you wouldn't think that they were, they'd carve well, but I've been having a hoot carving 1-inch dowels. So basically, it's accessible to absolutely everybody. If you don't have a tree with a stick, you go to the hardware store and they'll have a 1-inch dowel for sure. Hmm. Now, the wood's a little bit harder, but the carvings, they're so small that it's somewhat.
Yeah.
It's just a couple extra cuts to get to where you would be in bass, would say. Sure. But then it's accessible to everybody and it's like pennies a foot. Mm. So that was, I did a lot of videos on, well, I didn't do a lot, but I started a playlist on carving dowels and sticks. And it's funny, I did do the couple of videos that I thought, I won't say were artistic or maybe a little more advanced than beginner carvings. Nobody wants to watch me do that anyway.
Right.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. They just want those easy, quick beginner videos. And I used to resent it.
Yeah.
I remember you called me the crack dealer, the entry level, get people carving. And I'm kind of starting to embrace it now a little bit more than just give them what they want and do these easy, fun little carvings. And and once I started thinking that way, I've actually been enjoying it.
Wow.
And you can whip out a whole handful of carvings in a day. And it's fun.
Yeah, no, I think the idea is great because, I mean, even just thinking about people, they don't have access to carving woods. Like, when I started out, I remember that same thing. It's like, well, where on earth am I supposed to get basswood? What is basswood?
Exactly.
Like, you can't go to Home Depot or Ace Hardware and get a piece of basswood.
Yeah. Yeah. And I buy my basswood from the States, too, and I buy it in a box.
Okay.
Well, the shipping is crazy.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. Like you pay more for the shipping than the actual wood.
Right.
So it's it's like you said, it's the entry level crack that'll get you. And you can take it wherever you want if you want to go buy basswood or cottonwood or bark or whatever. But it's just a little entry to see if you even like carving. Really.
Yeah. I think you're like a gateway drug is what I said to carving. Like most people get into carving that I know at least that have gotten to carving is through you. A lot of people in the last few years who've gotten into it.
The simple little whittles really gets
awesome.
So on the dowels, like I've done, I did a little, I think a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. I reconfigured my popular owl video to the small owl. Mm-hmm. I did a bear and a stump. And I'm working on another one right as we speak. And it's just fun.
You said popular or poplar?
Poplar.
Oh, poplar. Okay.
Poplar, which is cottonwood.
Yeah.
Really.
I thought you were saying, man, my owl video was so popular.
Oh, no. My owl video was one of my more popular videos.
More popular.
But the fun thing about the dowels versus the sticks, and like I said, interchangeable, these videos for sticks or dowels, but the dowels have no pith.
Oh, that's, right. That's
right? Nice. Because they're sawn and made.
Right.
So you never have to work, like you can work around the pith or whatever.
Right.
So it's kind of fun. So that's about what I've been up to YouTube wise.
Well, that's cool.
But it's it's just been funny to see that when I try to make something a little bit more advanced, nobody cares.
Right.
Do a simple little carving and everybody's happy. Sure. So
Well, it makes sense. It's like I was thinking about this the other day, like I think a podcast saying that when you buy something really nice, right, you think you'll be really cool. Maybe you see someone with something really nice and you say, man, I wish I had that. I would be really cool. And the irony of it is when you're buying something that is really cool, people are seeing it and they're not saying, wow, that guy is so cool. They're saying, oh, if I had that, I would be really cool. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about themselves. So when we buy stuff to try and look cool, effectively, all we're doing is making people think about how cool they would be if they had the thing. Right. And so it's funny when you do a carving you're watching a video, a lot of people are thinking like, man, I would love to try that. And there's something that people dismiss about the really complicated stuff, I think. At least I did starting out and still do with a lot of, like, I see this architectural stuff that some of my friends have done and some people I follow on the internet. I haven't even tried that stuff. Mm-hmm. I just put it past me, right?
Yep.
And so I think it's so good that you are able to make stuff that looks awesome and that people are willing to try that. They fill in, they see it and they go, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
Instead of like, wow, that's cool. Like, never.
My all-time worst video of the summer was a beaver chewed stick. And I thought it was going to be a great video. But
I love that
it's
video.
The absolute worst viewed video
really?
I've made to date. But I kayaked out and I raided a beaver dam and took a piece of wood and I carved it into a beaver face on it. And it's horrible. The views. But I mean... To be fair, those kind of videos I do for myself as much as the people anyway, to be a little bit creative.
I think you like sneezed in it once. I think that's probably why. I caught a sneeze or a cough in it and I thought, this is it. It needs more views. It would have more views if you didn't cough in it.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, I know a lot about the algorithm and it doesn't like that. So,
well, as a a professional wood carver yourself,
yeah.
This summer.
Yeah.
Do you even carve, bro? Do you even carve?
We need that t-shirt.
Did you carve anything? I have that shirt. Owen Thomas Woodcraft.
Really?
I shouldn't say just a spoon carver, but he's a spoon carver.
He's just a spoon carver.
Pole lathe. No, I don't mean it like that.
No, I know.
Green woodworker. He
does right.
A pole lathe there. He has a shirt. Mine says, do you even carve, bro?
Right.
Yeah, with a little knife. But anyway, yeah. What have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, the summer has been full. There has been carving. I've been... coming back from the honeymoon and actually leading up to the honeymoon, excited about stone again. And I don't know. I think it's the weather. I think it's stone is so dusty that it requires outdoor carving. And so there's been this newfound excitement for stone carving. So I've been doing these little flowers.
I want to show them up. Keep talking.
Oh yeah, sure. And so, yeah, the alabaster is the stone and,
I love it. I love it. I'm super intrigued for the YouTube viewers. Look at this stone. Look at the patterns and the color and the grain. Oh, the carving too, I guess. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Really so, fun. Yeah.
Thanks.
We should dig in a little bit on how you carve these.
Sure.
Because to me, this is impossible.
Yeah.
It's stone.
Right.
So how do you carve them?
Well, I have a video up on the school about how to carve stone with a grinder, like a Dremel and a die grinder, which is like a large Dremel that you can get at any like hardware store or Harbor Freight. I think it's $50 for the, or $60 for the one I use.
But that's not stone bits?
They're Kutzall. Yeah. KUTZALL.
The same ones used for wood.
The same one you use for wood. If you read the label, it's rated for stone. And those carbide cutting tools. So yeah, you can use those exclusively.
I would never have thought that.
Yeah. And so on that video, I talk about that. Another tool though, if you really get into the craft, it's a bit more expensive, but is this pneumatic chisel made by Bar, I think, or Bear, B-A-R-R-E. And it's a hammering thing. You fit this in the hole and yeah, it has this little chisel tip. This is a, In stone carving, it's a little different. The larger tools are what you use later. The smaller tools are what you start out with because they remove more material. You're more thinking like fracturing the stone than cutting it. So less cutting, more fracturing. So you're kind of busting off pieces of rock in order to make the sculpture. So
I should have kept that flower, but
yeah.
Is it there's no grain, but is it layered? So is there any fear of, say, a piece of wood splitting off a chunk? Is there any grain or any fault lines? Or is it all the same consistency? Or is there some...
Yeah, I can speak to the alabaster. You know, if you buy it, I've actually purchased some alabaster before, and that stuff usually pretty consistent all the way through. This stuff that I find, though, yeah, it has layers. Like, I could grab that piece, and you'd see the pink one especially has, like, little cracks, hairline cracks that run almost like cottonwood bark, like parallel to the face. So it's like you can see the layers. It's a sedimentary rock, so you can see where, like, layers have dried on and hardened. Okay. So, yeah.
But they won't.
They will delaminate if you don't pay attention to them. Okay. So you do kind of have to be careful on the more brittle pieces. But most of the time, no, it's great. You could just you go any direction that you want, and it's so fun.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued. I don't want to go down that lane at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just another rabbit hole. But yeah. It's pretty cool. You were talking about before. I couldn't picture it until I came and saw. Like, this is cool.
Yeah,
I like the colors too.
Yeah, it's surprising. Like, when you go out there, we found this big field out in the middle of nowhere in Michigan up north. And you come upon these fields and they're just like, they look alien. It's like translucent blue stone rock, like big piles of, or like kind of like hills made of this stone. Hmm. And when you walk out, you look down at the ground and this clear translucent stone makes up the ground that grass is growing out of. And it's just beautiful. And, you know, if you dig around, you can find these pink stones, these purple, blue, all these different colors. And yeah, it's pretty neat.
Oh, very fun.
I enjoy it. Honestly, the stone collecting process was more fun than the carving process.
It always is, isn't it? Oh. When you look for that piece of wood or that piece of stone.
Yeah.
The hunt.
Yeah.
The hunt is the fun part. That's why I kind of feel bad about buying my cottonwood bark, because I love the idea of scavenging it.
Yeah.
I just don't like the 3-day drive.
Oh, that's an awful drive.
Because where I live, it's nowhere.
Yep.
Nowhere near. But.
Well, same here. We have to drive. Yeah, it's a 3-day drive, and it is rough, but it's fun. As long as you can make, like, a trip out of it, it's worth it. Yeah, like a little camping trip. Yep. But I will say, I loved watching that beaver video that you posted because of that. Like, you can see the whole arc of where the piece came from, how you got to the place to get the piece, like, bringing it home, cleaning it off. Seeing the beaver chew remnants on that piece, it was just, yeah, it's so cool.
I gotta tell you, I couldn't have been happier about the consistency of the wood. After I power washed it, I looked a little bit punky on the edge.
Yeah.
And then when I dug in, it was gorgeous.
I was kind of worried about that too. What was it? I can't remember if you said.
I don't know if it was poplar or alder, but I knew, looking at the beaver dam, I knew it would be one of those woods because a beaver, that's their favorite types of wood. Mm. Like, they're not going to have a piece of oak, you know? So they like to chew on the softer woods. So
picky beavers.
Well, I knew it would be one of them. So anyway, it turned out beautifully.
Yeah.
Not the carving, but the wood.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Definitely like the fact that you could take something just randomly from nature that was already kind of sculpted by an animal and,
well, that's what I looked for. I wanted a chew on top and a chew on the side, so it was a nice.
So cool. I was wondering, it was how you're going to do that if you could find a piece. So fun. So yeah, I will say though, coming back from the honeymoon, jumping totally off topic, we found to our surprise, my house was filled with thousands of balloons,
yes.
Cups of water up both stairways. Lining the stairway so you couldn't climb up the stairway with flowers in them. Supposed to be kind of romantic, I guess. Horrible. And walked into the bathroom of the house. Actually, I should say before that, everything saran wrapped. Even our couch, our dining table, every cushion, every pillow, every piece of loose change is individually wrapped. I mean, really? They went down to the every jot and tittle, man. They were so good. So detailed and thorough. But yeah, we got into the bathroom to kind of see what was going on, and there was a smell wafting up from the bathroom of fish. Sure enough, I hear a pump. I look down into my bathtub. There's lights. There are plants coming up from the bottom of the tub, and hundreds of fish, feeder fish, in my tub, just swimming around in there, happily swimming around. All of the fish chemicals right by the tub side. Little fish net. Just this whole thing. 400 fish, they later told me, were there planted in the tub.
That's wild.
And so Annalise filmed this whole thing and
Oh, yes.
And put it on TikTok, and it blew. I mean, like, the, I don't know if it's considered.
Yeah, 100%.
13 million.
100% it's a viral video. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know where it's at now, but last I checked, millions and millions of people viewed it and outraged. People are furious that we took these fish and put them in our bathtub. And I had to respond to people like, we didn't prank ourselves, you geniuses. Like, why are you taking it out? Like, this whole thing of animal activism, we appreciate.
Internet outrage. Yeah.
The fish talk was brutal.
Yeah. But that was, I did see the video and it was pretty fun. Man, they worked hard.
They worked hard on that. They really did. I was shocked.
When I got married, we had to come home before we went on our honeymoon for the night.
Yeah.
We're going the next day. And when I went out to my car in the morning, it was jacked up on concrete blocks and my tires were gone.
the tires weren't even left. Before your honeymoon?
Before my honeymoon.
And you didn't have, what did you do?
So I had to call them up and say, get my tires over here right now. We got to go. And they did? It was jacked up in the air. Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. But
I didn't know that was a thing. A lot of my friends don't either. They don't.
I forget the honeymoon pranks. It's not chivalry. It's people help us out.
Yeah.
It's something.
There's a thing though.
It sounds like chivalry, but it's not chivalry. It's something, a word like that. But yeah, for sure it's a thing. Yeah.
Honeymoon pranking, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we came back from 2 days of travel. Well, about a day worth of travel, but overnight it was a red eye. So we hadn't slept in 2 days. And at least I hadn't. And so showing up, couldn't wait to get in the shower. Couldn't wait to get in bed. Not only could I not get in the shower because of my tub filled with 400 fish, I couldn't even go upstairs because of the cups leading up. So I at least had to collect all of the water from all of the cups in order to get upstairs and change and do it. So we were just like, good job. Good job, guys.
Yeah. And under your breath, like, bunch of jerks.
Should we murder them?
Yes.
We could murder. No, that's too far. It's like, we were so upset and also laughing the whole time. So,
well,
awesome.
I didn't have a honeymoon, but I did go on a little family vacation up north with the in-laws on the lake and had a good time.
Did you do any boating at all or?
Did lots of kayaking.
That's nice.
You know, my favorite time was me and my daughter, Willow, would go like 11 o'clock at midnight.
Oh, really?
Almost every night we would go out, like paddle out for like an hour.
And with headlamps?
Nope. Just
in the dark?
Just by the moonlight and the stars. And it was beautiful.
Ugh.
No, never once was there wind. It was just like glass and the stars were reflecting off the water and we're just out in the middle of it and it was just beautiful and just sat out there and yacked it up and it was great. Real. That's a real memory. That was really fun. But lots of paddling and family stuff and it was good.
Yeah.
Good trip. That's actually where the beaver dam was too. Mm. That I spied up and concocted the idea anyway.
Right.
So yeah, did that. Boy, what else was the summer bring? Oh, Dad's house.
Oh,
yes. With the passing of my mother and getting my father moved into a retirement home, we've started cleaning the shop and the barn and the house out. And my goodness, it turned into a job. Still not even there yet, but we've made a lot of progress. But wow, it's a big job.
Yeah,
big job. So,
I mean, just years of someone being on the earth collecting things, and it's like, I don't know, that must be
an
experience.
I think they built the house when I was about 4.
Wow.
So from that point on, everything that came into the house is there. You know, it's funny too, is that in the process of going through everything, it's like all these things you grew up with, you have all these memories and attachments to, and then when I'm seeing that I'm getting rid of them from my family, I'm like, I want them, but then I don't want them now. The memory, you want the thing and you think you want it and then you get, do I want this in my house? Because then my kids are going to be doing the exact same thing to me.
Right.
And I prefer a little bit more minimalist stuff. So hey, a little memory here and there you take home, but I just didn't want to take big stuff home and stuff. Like, just too much. It's too much.
And
if I was 20 years younger, I probably would have used a lot of the stuff, but now I'm established and I have everything I ever wanted.
Right.
And everything else is just extra. So,
yep.
Well, it's tough calls.
Yeah.
But
we had the same experience with my grandpa, that so much of what he had, we just couldn't use and no one else could really use. It's just stuff that mattered to him. That was like for instance, he had a habit of collecting televisions from the garbage, old tube televisions and radios and record players. So he had them all wired so that when you turn a light switch, one specific light switch on in the basement, all of the televisions and radios would come on at the same time. Sorry, I lied. All the televisions would come on, tuned to the same channel. So it was so, it was almost eerie that all of them would come on.
Yeah.
And literally, I mean, he had a shelf that ran the length of his basement, huge, a full size basement ranch.
What was the feeling? Not like a store, but a horror movie?
A bit of like a Greek horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, he spoke broken English and he just loved to go down there and turn all those TVs on and just look at you and go, look at that. So, yeah, no, there's just so many TVs and radios that we're like, what are we going to do with these? So,
you know, I would feel remiss if I didn't tell you about the two buzzards.
Oh my gosh. Yes. How could we forget a joke?
Two buzzards.
Why couldn't we forget a joke?
Two buzzards were at the check-in counter at the airport answering the usual questions. The desk clerk finally noticed the piece of rotting gazelle they had brought with them. Are you going to check that? The agent asked. No, the buzzards replied. That's our carry-on.
I'm not familiar with carry-on.
That's our carry-on.
What's carry-on?
You don't know what carry-on is? Mm. How come even after a whole summer of learning, you still don't know all the words in the carry-on? Like rotting... Ask Google. Ask Google.
Hey, Google, what is carry-on?
Here's the definition of carrion. The decaying flesh of dead animals.
Decaying flesh of dead... There it is.
Is that a... Is that like a Canadian word?
No, it's a
French
a,
word?
That's a word.
That doesn't exist
a
here.
A word that describes something. It's a vocabulary. You know vocabulary?
I genuinely don't... I don't think I've ever heard that term before.
Well,
or if I have, I haven't heard it defined. Carrion.
Well, then we've come right back into our level of jokes.
Yeah, right. We're where I belong.
Doesn't get all the folks my age are all giggling, and you're the one going, ah.
Yeah, I wonder if it's generational, too. Like, it could be. Because that term, I've never heard.
They don't say that on the computer.
No more on the internet words.
No more internet words. Control, alt.
Yeah. Hey, Google, is that a word? Yeah. What was funny, too, about our trips, we noticed just before we left or shortly before we left, we were at a Walmart late at night, which recommend that as an entertaining experience if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Can I switch you in more?
Oh, wow.
We witnessed two pretty serious arguments or like fights between people in Walmart and folks in the airport all surrounding their kids being like, grabbed to like redirect, like running away or something, really? Or like grabbing something. And in both situations, I mean, these all out, I mean, borderline physical brawls, just screaming for like 10 minutes. Don't you dare touch my effing child. I mean, just, we were shocked. You know, it's just like, and then coming home from the honeymoon, so that happened before the honeymoon. I was walking through Home Depot in Detroit and this guy was talking about, you know, to another Meijer employee, just saying, you want to take this outside right now?
Nice.
You want to take this outside right now? I don't know. It was just weird to me. That maybe it's the climate. Have you noticed that at all?
No, I don't notice at all. But anytime I've ever been in that situation, I don't know why I get so invested in it that I get like.
Do you?
I get like anxiously amped up, like something like, I'm ready. Like, it has nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Yeah, it's
just makes same as I'm watching like UFC fights. I'm like, let's go. I'm ready, you know.
Well, it does. There is like a man thing because I found out about the second one in the airport from my wife while we were on the phone. She called me to say that she couldn't find her luggage, and I'm hearing like, you get my kid back. My effing, don't you ever effing touch my kid again. I'm like, wait, what's going on? At least I hear it just as if they're screaming into the phone. And I'm like, I'm all the way at the other side of the airport to get the vehicle that we're renting. And so I'm like, I book it back to where she is all the way at the bottom floor of the opposite side of the airport. I'm sweating and running back. I'm like, what's going on? Sure enough, the fight's still happening. And I just get in front of her. I'm like, when this stuff happens, you should probably try to back up a little bit. You know, she was right in between this. At least from what I could hear on the phone, she said that she was distant. So I'm sure she was. But yeah, there is this sort of like thing, like, wait,
this man thing that you gotta get your hackles raised,
right? Whatever that is. What? I'll protect you from my hackles. Mike Hackles.
Now you don't know what hackles is either.
No.
Rooster.
No.
Okay. I give up. Okay. Episode 41 is our last.
He's going to find a more an aged and incompetent fellow.
You know what's funny is I was also in my quest to make easier carvings. Mm-hmm. My goal is to get younger people carving because my analytics show that 60% of my viewers are my age or older.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, I still think, though, that you are getting more young people than...
I hope so, but it's funny.
It's funny, yeah. It's an old person's hobby, I guess. But, I mean, according to the statistics, I don't think it is. But I have so many young people.
It doesn't have to be. Like, I always say, I wish I had learned about wood carving 20 years ago. And that's why you're so lucky, being such a young punk starting.
No, I do feel that.
Like, you were, and again, I think it was Ryan Olson was saying, too, that... When you get something like that locked in your brain at a young age, you learn so much quicker.
Yep.
And it just becomes ingrained in you. It's who you become. And it's harder to learn when you're older.
Yeah. Sure. So. No, yeah. It's like anything else, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a weird thing for me to think about, the fact that there aren't more young people in it. Mm-hmm. And when there are young people in it, it is strange. But anyway, we've talked about that to death.
I got to tell you. My rear end is so bony on this wood chair.
Wooden chairs.
Oh, man.
Make yourself at home, Doug.
You have to sit on something.
Everything's made of wood.
We don't have a mailbag. We have, email us at...
Yeah, coffeeandcarvingshow@gmail.com.
Coffeeandcarvingshow@gmail.com. And with your questions, comments, topical discussions, whatever you want, we're back. Have you been watching any media? That's a good question.
You know, I've been kind of, I get obsessed about like review videos. So I've done a fair amount of like review videos in the last few weeks, gearing up to buy better equipment for the podcast.
Right.
So I've watched lots of reviews on computers and gadgets of all kinds, speakers and headphones and stuff like that. But not a lot in the way of carving. I will say Annalise has been inspiring me to carve new things from Pinterest. She's got, she's a lot more, I think girls just in general know more about Pinterest than guys.
Yeah, until you get into it.
But it's so good. It's so good. The quality of everything, it's organized nicely. She was able to find so many like neat carving ideas for me.
Yeah.
I just have a list of things from like the other night of in bed, just scrolling through Pinterest with her. It's good stuff.
That's what you do as newlyweds?
Honestly, yeah.
Pinterest.
We're boring, but I love it. I love it.
Come to bed. I got the Pinterest open.
Yeah.
Honey, Pinterest is open. I'm so excited.
I can barely contain myself.
Well, like I said earlier, I took myself to school a little bit, tried to consume as much wood carving as I could stand.
Yeah.
And I found your buddy. I know you've mentioned him before, this Fred Zavadil.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know him at all, but I know
he's near you too. He's in Ontario.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. He's not far from you.
Well, anyway, he's a fantastic carver, and one in particular I wanted to talk about was, I didn't know how I felt about it at first until I realized, but Master Carver, like, there's a 2-part series I watched on the Santa Claus, Master Carver. But what threw me off was he glued the template to it, and I was like, that doesn't feel very artsy. Is that a thing? But then I realized that he probably drew it.
He did.
And put it.
Yeah.
So it just, anyway, it was cool. But the carving turned out amazing.
Yeah.
But I was just like,
yep.
I always just dig in and end up with what I end up with. But it's so nice to have, it would be nice to have that, especially if you do it yourself. Now, I can't draw a stick man, so I draw by carving. I just dig until I stop.
Right.
But, I guess consistency wise, you can do it again with the picture.
I went to take a lesson from him in a few months ago. I've done it twice. And the first time I went there, he was opening a cabinet up and fell out all of these drawings. And I was like, what are these? You know, beautiful renderings of women with long, curly, flowing hair and these whole like landscape scenes that he had drawn out. And he's, oh, these are just my drawings. He's a Czech. And so he has this accent. He's like, these are all my drawings, you know? And then I grab them up and I'm like, can I look at these? They're just like, I'm looking at him and I'm like, you know, how is he doing this? And this level of carving? Ah, well, it makes sense. He's an artist. He's a real artist. So,
well, what else I appreciate too was that, you know, we're blessed to have, you have this carving studio. I have my carving room.
Yeah.
I think he was in his kitchen.
Yeah.
I feel like he was carving in his kitchen.
He just carves in his basement.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. He did nothing. Nothing fancy.
No.
Really. I was shocked at how just basic his setup was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Small. Which I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh. But mind you, he's not in the, my carving room, I don't need it either, but I kind of consider it my set really for YouTube videos, right?
Right.
More than a need of carving.
But, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's what I've been watching.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's funny. I think I brought some donuts to his house once, punchkis or something on punchki day.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at him and they were, I think they were, forgive me, Hannah, if I'm wrong, and Fred, but I think they were like, what the heck are these? Like, they were just like, why would we eat
it? Oh, he should know. Yeah, I think it is a Hungarian thing.
Isn't it?
Or yeah. Polish?
Maybe that's why.
Maybe it's Polish or Hungarian.
Maybe they saw them and they were like, this crap, you know, compared to what we have.
Okay, I'm trying to think, and I might be wrong. But I believe the punchkis are
Polish.
But I believe they're made before Lent or after Lent, where they have to throw all their ingredients in. And they're usually like a 2-pound
lard
filled, heavy, heavy donut, but delicious. Mm. And I don't know the story completely, but
Yeah, they're good. But so he's a great guy. But...
Yeah, well, he's a fantastic carver.
Oh, what a nice dude too. So game for anything. You know, if you ask him, hey, can you teach me how to do some sort of whatever, he's always game. Super, super nice guy. So
I think that's a wrap as a start back into season number 2, we'll call it.
Season 2, guys.
Of the Coffee and Carving Show. So thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I just want to stretch it out, so you have to just stay there, awkward.
I'm just waiting to see what he's gonna say. Take your vitamins.
Take your vitamins.
All right, see you, folks.